The text that calls for our attention this Lord's Day is the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, as recorded in Luke chapter 16. We read a couple verses of that parable. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. At his gate laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And the poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we continue this week to wade through the pool of parables that has been poured out for us in this portion of Luke's Gospel we have been reading, today we find ourselves wet, so to speak, with a message about a rich man who ends up in hell and a poor man who ends up in heaven. Now, it would be easy in just reading this to think that the message is just that simple, that rich people end up in hell and poor people go to heaven. But if today we will wade a little deeper into the water, we will understand that there is much more here than just some quick judgment about the fate of the rich and the poor based on the balance of their bank accounts. Oh, no doubt money and its use is indeed at the heart of this parable, but not in such a simplistic way as we might first think. You see, the whole of Scripture is very consistent when it comes to teaching about money. Money, it says, is not evil in itself. But at the same time, money and its love, the love of money, leads many away from the faith. You might well summarize the teaching of the Scriptures about money by saying that while it is not evil, it is often dangerous. You see, the rich man described in our parable never came to that understanding during his life. He did not believe that the love of money was something that was dangerous, but rather became convinced that gathering money was in fact what life was all about. And so he went about his life ordering it according to that principle. He walked over the poor to get some more opportunities to make a little more money. He ignored those who were in need in order to get ahead of the pack. Rather than viewing people as opportunities to serve God, instead he rather viewed them as one of many means to use to get towards the goal he had set. And no doubt in the midst of all of his concern for his own well-being, for his own wealth, he long ago left behind any concerns he used to have for God's wills and ways being carried out in his life. No, this rich man does not end up in hell because he was rich. He ends up in hell because while chasing through the best things of this world, he leaves behind the pure longings of faith, which desires things that are much better than anything this world can offer. Yes, in the pursuit of all the things of this world, he left behind, indeed, those wonderful and glorious promises of God. And we should make clear also, the poor man named Lazarus doesn't get to heaven because he just never found a good enough job to earn money. No, the poor man Lazarus ends up in heaven because in his poverty, he recognized that he had a need for God. In fact, this connection is so scriptural that many times the same word for poor or poverty is used not only to speak of one's financial well-being, but their spiritual well-being as well. Yes, Lazarus knew that he needed God. And so in the end, he receives him. The rich man in our parable knew of no such need for God. and ended up without him. Yes, you see, in the end, God gives to each exactly what they have desired in this world. To those who by faith desire God and His forgiveness, He gives them eternal life. But to those who in their unbelief desire only the riches of this world, free from any of the restraints of God and His presence in their life, they will receive an eternity of the same, an eternity without God's presence. And enough about the fictional men of our parable. Let's return to the basic message of the parable. And what is that message? Well, put simply, it is this. The life concerned primarily with gaining riches in this world leads to hell. And the life concerned primarily with trusting in the riches God provides leads to heaven. So today I ask you, as I ask myself, which kind of life are you leading? On a daily basis, which more controls your thoughts and your actions? Concern for your financial well-being or for the well-being of your faith and the well-being of the kingdom of God? The traditional picture that is painted of farmers living in this area suggests that traditionally those farmers were generally kingdom thinkers who often went out of their way to help one another, understanding that ultimately gathering riches was not their main aim. No, they sought first the kingdom of God and trusted Him to provide for all of their needs. And while this traditional picture of the farmer in this area may be a little more polished than the reality that existed at one point, that difference does not bother me. But what does concern me is the truth about today's farmers and the lives of all of us, no matter what occupation we are called to. We must each ask, are we kingdom thinkers who give evidence that amassing wealth is not the central principle of our life? It is so easy to believe the other way, for we live in a culture that tells us that it's all about the money. Today I ask those of you that are farmers, when you hear about a piece of land that is available or might be available in this area, do you simply think about you and yourself and your farm? Or do you stop to truly think about how your buying or not buying of that property might affect your neighbors as well? If I heard you talking about a piece of property that you were going to buy, would I hear you discussing the implications for those people that are selling? Or would I simply hear you talking about the possibilities for expanding your enterprise? Would you walk over the poor in order to get some more opportunities to make money? Would you ignore those who are in need in an effort to get ahead of the pack? Would you, rather than viewing people as people that God has placed around you to serve, view them instead as simply means to get to the goals that you have set for yourself? And for the rest of us who don't go about our lives in the farming lifestyle, do our lives also give evidence that our lives are not about gathering riches? When we think about a promotion that might be available at our work, do we once again stop to think about the others that are also up for that promotion? Or do we only stop to think about how we might use that extra cash? When we receive a pay raise increase at work, do we stop and think about how that additional increase might be used for kingdom goods? Or do we simply purchase another one of the items on our long wish list? We at times often walk right past those who are in need, even though we are far from being in need, and tell ourselves that we simply have no responsibility for their well-being. You see, these questions are very important questions, because this parable leaves no doubt that a life that is committed simply to gaining riches in this world leaves one in hell. You see, we cannot trust that our church membership here at St. Paul's, or even our attendance record here, will somehow deliver us to heaven, even though we've lived our whole lives as if money were our God. Yes, if our lives Monday through Saturday do not give evidence of the faith we confess on Sunday, we indeed are walking down that path that leads to hell. Yes, we might sit here our whole lives in these pews, but if our life is all about wealth, the parable is clear. We can still end up without God for all eternity. And that indeed is a stark warning, but it is a warning that our parable makes clearly. So today, as we gather in his house and consider this parable, let us indeed allow the Word of God to penetrate our lives deeply and to examine our deeds freely, that we might indeed be ready to see the sin that has survived in our lives. For where we find evidence that we have indeed been controlled more in our daily thoughts and actions by our love of money rather than by our concern for the kingdom, we must fall down. We must fall down right where we are and confess our sin. For if we will not fall down, we simply continue to walk on that path that leads to hell. But if we will fall down and admit that we have at times loved money more than God himself, then we can indeed expect the one who was raised from the dead, the one whom the law and the prophets testified to come and to pick us up and to carry us back to that other path, that other way, that way lived out in God's gracious presence, that way that leads to eternal life. And when we are there, we will look around us and see the poor man Lazarus and all the others who, by allowing God's word to judge them and their deeds, have come to realize their desperate need for that God and his grace. And then you and I will be able to walk together with them all the way into that new heavens and new earth which God has promised to give us on that last day. Yes, on that last day, there will be those who have walked the way that leads to hell, who will more than anything else want to come and be with us in heaven. But at that point, it will be too late for them. Today, let us not leave this church simply walking down the path of selfishness and covetousness, loving our wealth, and assume that somewhere else in our life, at a different point, we will switch paths. No, our time to be carried off the path that leads to hell and to be placed back on the path that leads to heaven is today. For it is not too late for us. And we have Moses and the prophets who testify to us. And we even have one who is raised from the dead, who came to this world to save us. So let us today fall into his nail-pierced hands and be carried back to the path of life. Amen.